song talks about, the title of it is My Desire, My Heart's Desire. What is your heart's desire this morning? You have some desires in life. A desire is someone's purpose, a longing. And there's a lot of desires in our world. There's a lot of things that people say, I have a desire for this in my life. And sometimes people will follow after the desire. See, desire is a very powerful thing. Desire is very powerful. It can be the spark to a lot of things. It can be the spark. The igniter, if you will, to a lot of things. But without a desire, there is no seeking for anything. So if, for example, if you don't have a desire for God, there's not going to be any relationship. If you don't have a desire to live a holy life like God wants, you're not going to pursue it. Because to pursue something generally is started with a desire. So it would behoove us to consider, where are our desires this morning? What is it we're longing for? What is it we want in our life? I think last Sunday was to me, and I've heard others testify, but to me, last Sunday, we mentioned there were 11 that were baptized. To me, that was a beautiful expression of desire. That's what I saw last Sunday afternoon. I saw desire of people wanting to be what God wanted them to be. I want to do what I need to do. But do you know the baptism service is over? That was last Sunday, and Monday came, didn't it? And then Tuesday came along, and here we are a week later now. So what desire and purpose is very important, but what are we going to do with the desires that we have? Does everyone here want to go to heaven? Does anyone here not want to go to heaven? I mean, how often do you really honestly hear someone say, yes, if I even believe, if there's a heaven and a hell, I definitely want to spend eternity in suffering? I mean, that kind of defies logic, doesn't it? I think we all would acknowledge that, yes, I want to go to heaven. That's a good desire, isn't it? A longing. I want to go. A desire. But someone that does not have any desire for the things of God is in a very dangerous place. If there is not a desire to please God in your daily life, it's dangerous. Because the only way we can move and go to heaven is to please God. And it's going to start with desire. So desire is a starting point. It's not the end. But our desires this morning are a starting point. But desire alone is going to leave us with an empty shell if it does not lead us to action. Desire alone is not enough. So you might have been wondering why I was off center here. There's a reason. And it's because I want to complete my title now. When desire is not enough. There are times in life that desire is not enough. Because if I express something with my mouth and say, and maybe my heart is there a little bit, it's, yes, I want to go to heaven. But if that's all it is an expression, and it does, that desire is not strong enough to motivate me to action, I'm not going to make it to heaven, am I? And it not only is it with spiritual things, it's applicable in other things. Once, if you will turn with me to the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. In the 16th verse, he was talking about those in the Old Testament, and it said they desire a better country. Those that were walking in faith. It said they desire a better country, that is heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. This is the reason the scripture spake of these people as pilgrims and strangers. A pilgrim is someone that's just passing through. And they were strangers to this world. I wonder about our lives this morning. Because it's one thing for us to declare, I want to go to heaven. And it's something else to say, I desire it so much that I am a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. I'm not going to be controlled by the earthly desires, but I'm going to be motivated to action because of my desire to please God. So do you see then where a lack of desire is going to get us in trouble? But desire alone, when desire is not enough, it's when it does not move us to action and change. There, down further in this passage, in the 24th verse, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And now he had to do some priority checks here. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt. So basically what the scripture is saying is, Moses had a decision to make. Am I going to be Pharaoh's daughter and live in the palace and rule and have riches and fame and power? Or am I going to suffer with the people of God, knowing there's going to be some hardship, knowing there's going to be self-denial, because I want the reward that comes with that? All of us are faced with that decision today. And your desires, and I said your, mine as well, our desires are revealed based upon the choices that we make in life. We know that Moses had a desire to please God because he chose to forsake Egypt. When I got married, I made some vows, just like all of you did when you were married. And in my wedding vows, I said forsaking all others. Now, what if I would have said that's my desire? I choose you. This is the one that I desire to be married to, and I'm gonna do that. But what would you think about my desire if I would have had three or four other women on the side, and yet I was marrying this one? Said, but that's where I desire. That's where my desire is, and yet I was not forsaking everybody else. Would that speak of my love at all? Well, do you think she would have wanted to marry me if I would have said, honey, I've got four women I really love, but you are my chief desire, so I'm going to marry you. I'm not forsaking the others, but I'm marrying you because I love you the most. Would that be, you sisters here, would that be enough for you? No. I wouldn't advise anyone to get married under those conditions. Do you realize that many people are professing desire for God this morning? Jesus said himself, he said, you profess me, you acknowledge me with your mouth. But he said, your hearts are far from me. In other words, your desire, you're saying you desire me. That's what you say with your mouth, but it's not motivating you to action. Now, it says something when a man comes to a woman and says, you are the one. For you, I will forsake all others because I commit my life to you. And that motivates change. That's when desire will mean something in our relationship with God. But we will not make it to heaven, saints. We're not going to make it until Christ is our chief desire, to the point that we are motivated to make changes in our life to please the Lord. That's the desire the Lord's looking for. I had a desire when I was in high school to have a certain GPA. Okay, now what that was isn't really the point. But I had a desire and a purpose. And I will just say B's were not sufficient. Okay? So you can go figure on that one. So that means then that because of that purpose and desire, there were times that I would stay up late at night working on projects and essays and studying for tests, and because I had a goal in my mind and I did not want anything to hinder me in that goal. I had a purpose. I had a desire that this is how I want to graduate. Do you know there are some people that say, oh yes, how many of y'all would like to have a 4.0 GPA? Absolutely. But do you know that that takes some work? It's not enough to say, of course I'd like to get all A's. Okay, it's one thing to say it, and it's something else when you might rather be out playing basketball or going places with your friends and doing things, and yet you've got a test tomorrow, you've got a decision to make. What's your desire? What's your purpose? What's your goal in mind? There are people that say, oh yes, I'd like to retire and I'd like to have so much money. You know, $1 million today isn't near what it was 30 years ago. They say in our country today that to have enough in retirement, I think that I read an article recently that said 2.3 million. Well, you may not reach that, but do you realize that people say they want to have money in retirement to be able to live on? It's got to be more than an expression. It's got to be more than just, yes, I want it. It may be a real desire, but it means that instead of going and buying your $7 drink daily, understand now, it means that I'm going to take that $7 and I'm going to invest that and put it away when I'm in my 20s. When I'm 19 and 20 years old and making money, I'm going to start faithfully putting money away because I have a desire to be able to live when I'm an old man or old woman. So that means your desire has to go beyond an expression, and really even an expression of what you really want. It's going to have to motivate you to make a change in your life. Now, if you can afford both and go have your $7 drink, just be sure you're drinking. It's profitable. But you understand what I'm saying here. There's so much money being wasted, and people then, they go waste their money. I actually went through Brahms the other day, and I wasn't going to get on finances, but I'll just say, my wife and I were going to split something. So, of course, I wanted a double hamburger, so at least I'd still get a quarter pound. So I got a double pound hamburger with a large fry and a large drink, and we were going to split it. You know how much it cost? $13.30 for a meal. Yeah, it was a double, granted, and we split that. But that's starting to be a lot of money, isn't it? That's where we're living. But do you realize that when you start looking to the future, sometimes you have to say, you know, the $2 taco might have to suffice today because I'd like to have a taco when I'm an old man too. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's got to be more than what we say, well, I want to go to heaven. I want my GPA to be this. I want to have a good relationship. I want to have a good relationship with my wife. That's my desire. But the question is, what are you going to do with your desire then? How important is it in your life? You say, but I want it. Yes, it's my desire. But their desire is not enough unless it is coupled with action. Desire is not enough. A man might be hungry all day long. He can talk about being hungry, and he can say, I haven't had anything to eat, and I'm hungry. But unless he sits down and eats, he's never going to be satisfied. See, you have to do something about it. So what's your desire this morning? You have desires for things? You know, we can all have desires for things that are more than just to go to heaven, and that's okay. There's earthly desires that are lawful. And I personally think if anybody ought to be a motivated people, it ought to be God's people. God is not interested in us being a lazy people. We should be goal-oriented. But chiefly, our purpose and goal should be, Lord, I want to please you. And when that comes in conflict with my earth goals, I'm going to put my spiritual goals first. It's got to motivate us. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Because I'm hungering. I'm yearning. It's motivating me. I want it more than anything else. And we live in a world where there are a lot of competing desires. There's a lot of competing desires. And we're going to have to make choices. We do make choices. And sometimes people delay their choice to pursue God. But you know, by tacit consent, you are making a decision. By delayed decision is a decision. You're saying, these other things are more important to me. You remember, and we won't take the time to read it, in the 19th chapter of Matthew. Very familiar passage. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. When the young man came to Jesus, young rich ruler came to Jesus, and he said, good master, he said, what must I do to gain eternal life? And Jesus, as you know the story, he went through the list of some of the commandments. You know, honor your father and mother. Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't commit fornication, don't bear false witness. The young man said, these things have I done from my youth up. And in one account says, Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect. In another account, Jesus said, there's one thing that thou lackest. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and then come and follow me. What Jesus was addressing was the condition of the man's heart. Didn't have to do with how much he had in the so-called bank account. It had to do with the man's heart, competing desires. He said, I have a desire, Lord. I'm putting this in our terms now. Lord, I have a desire to follow you. What do I need to do? I want to follow you. I believe the young man had a desire for God, don't you? I believe he wanted to follow the Lord. And yet, Jesus was going to be forthright with him and say, if you really want to follow me, this is what it's going to take. And the young man went away sorrowful, and he was sorrowful because he had a desire, but that desire was not enough. Because there was a competing desire that he had for the things of this world. Folks, the things of this world and the desires for the things of the flesh are going to get in the way of our desire to follow Jesus Christ. There is a cross, and part of the cross is that I'm going to have to let some of my other desires go by the wayside if I'm going to follow Jesus. What's your desire this morning? What are you wanting in life? Desire alone does not satisfy. So just think of it even in the... Let's bring it down to the things of the flesh. Now, we could talk about sinful things, okay? We'll talk about a lawful thing to make it a little bit easier to discuss. I can say I have a desire, and I just make myself an object when I use this example. But, you know, you can say I desire this donut. I have a desire for it. Is that desire satisfy anything? I desire a donut. What do you say? Well, no, it's just the desire, right? I desire it. That doesn't satisfy it doesn't satisfy the flesh, does it? Because I don't have it. I desire it. Something doesn't happen until I eat it, right? There's got to be more than a desire for the things of God, folks. It's a start. It's the igniter. Without desire, we'll never get there. But because if you don't have a desire for a donut, you're not going to eat a donut, right? But if there's a desire for it, that's the beginning, and then you follow through with it. Well, desire alone does not satisfy until it's acted on. So how much are we acting this morning on our desire to please God? How much are we following through with that? There are a lot of people that say, oh, I'd like to have a good marriage. I am very concerned about the marriages in our world today. I'm very concerned about marriages in the church today. I hear of husbands and wives fighting and bickering and arguing and just at odds with one another. Yes, there's going to be differences. Yes, there's going to be some dry times. We're being realistic here. Yes, there's going to be times that they may stress your patience, but there's a way to handle those things with grace. But I'm concerned about the condition. But see, people can say, I want a good marriage. I mean, how many people say, oh, I don't want a good marriage. I like trouble. People want good relationships. That's what they would say. But the question is, okay, that's your desire. But desire's not enough. Desire's not enough. What are you going to do with your desire to have a good marriage? What actions are you willing to take? What are you willing to deprive yourself up of? What things are you willing to not say? What things are you willing to not do because you want to please your companion and make them happy because you desire a good marriage? Yeah, but I want a good marriage. Folks, desire's not enough. It's a start. Without a desire, you'll never have a good marriage. You won't. But if you desire, that's the igniter. But alone, it's not enough. Do we get the point this morning? What are you doing with the desires that you have? Jesus said in John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. In other words, if you really desire me above everything else, in other words, my number one desire, let my heart e'er be fixed on my treasures above. That's what we say. That, Lord, I love you and you are my desire. Because of that, then I will keep your words. And there are going to be times that obedience to God is, number one, it's not always easy. And there's going to be times it's contested. It's contested. And when you are being challenged in your obedience to God because of other desires that you have, okay? And we all have them. That's called temptation, isn't it? When your desires for other things are coming in competition with your desire for God, that's called temptation. And all of us have that. That's when I have to come back down to the basics and say, Lord, I want to please you more than anything else in my life. And I will say that has carried me through times of temptation because I had to act upon my desire for God. But if I wouldn't have acted on it, something else would have won out. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Are we doing that this morning? I can only look at my life. Are you doing that in your life? Is your desire actually moving you to put the things of God first in your life? With your time, are you putting God first? Are you putting Him first with your financial decisions? Are you giving Him the first fruits or what's left over on the ground? Are you giving Him the first fruits of your affections? Your affection, your purposes, your goals, your time. You see, this is where our desire, and he said, seek first the kingdom of God because we have other desires, again, that I said are competing. So what's your chief desire? And then are you acting upon those desires? The Lord wants us to have a singular desire to put Him first. And that's the reason why Paul gave the analogy, or Peter rather, in 1 Peter 2, verse 1. He said, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking. Now, he's talking about laying something aside. I'm going to lay some things aside, but he gave us the motivation then. He said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In other words, if we desire God like a baby desires to be fed. You see, a baby that's hungry, and you go give a baby that's hungry a toy, how long is that going to satisfy? not going to satisfy, is it? Because they're hungry. They're single-minded. I want to eat. And Peter is saying here, we need to have that same desire for God, that I'm going to lay aside the malice and hypocrisy and the envy and the evil speaking. I'm going to lay all those things aside with a singular desire for the Lord. And that's what's going to cause growth in our life. You take that approach in your marriages, all right? You take that approach in your marriage, you're going to start seeing some changes. I'm willing to lay aside the things that hurt my companion. I'm going to lay aside the words that I speak that hurt, that make my companion not feel good. I'm going to do the things that maybe I really don't, it's not my natural disposition. But if this is my companion's love language, I'm going to stretch. I'm going to stretch because I desire a good relationship. This is what brings a good marriage. And this is what brings relationship with God as well. That, Lord, I'm going to start laying things aside because I want you the most in my life. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so my heart panteth after thee, O God. Lord, I want to pursue you. And so this week I would challenge us as we leave this service this morning that we reflect upon our desires. What are your desires? What are your earthly desires? What are your relationship desires? And most of all, what are your desires for the things of God? And then the next question is, after you do a little self-assessment, is what are you going to do about it? Because desire alone is not enough. It needs to prompt us to action. You remember over in 2 Corinthians when Paul was speaking, chapter 7, verse 11. He said, you remember when, and I'm putting this again, I'm putting this in our modern day English. Paul was saying, do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember when you sorrowed and you were so sorry for the sins that you had committed and you were so careful to get everything cleared up with God and with people? I don't want anything standing in the way. Do you remember those times? Do you remember what clearing of yourself and what indignation against wrong? It's like, I don't want to go back to that. The Lord deliver me. I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to be contaminated with that. He said, do you remember what zeal you had to follow God? Where is that today? Do you still have that? Do you still have that same burning desire that, Lord, I want to follow you? So desire alone, in conclusion, desire alone is going to be unfulfilled. All right? But our desires should motivate us to action. Strong desire will motivate us to action. It will cause us to begin to seek and surrender and to obey. So where's your desire this morning? Just a little reflection for the men here that are married. Do you remember when you first started showing interest in the person that you're married to today? Do you remember the miles? Some of you probably traveled a few miles. Anybody here besides me travel a few miles to go visit? Make some sacrifices. Make some sacrifices. Lay aside some things that probably you should have been doing. But your desire to see the one that your affections had gone out to, you are willing to make sacrifices. I wasn't going to get all into marriage this morning. That wasn't the crux of it. But I want to say, why don't you maintain that same desire this morning for your companion? Honey, I'm willing to travel miles to be with you. I'm not interested in working overtime just so I don't have to come home and face you. Honey, I am here because I will travel miles to be with you, and you still make my heart pitter-patter. You know what I'm saying? Now, I know it's not the same as when you're young, because, you know, age and experience changes some things, but it shouldn't change the love. It ought to deepen it. It ought to deepen that down. It got some deep roots now, and honey, you're still important to me. But let's do that with God, too, this morning. Let's remember when the Lord talked to our hearts, and let's maintain that desire, because desire alone is going to be unfulfilled. Amen.